Welcome back to the show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. It is Going Low, powered by Bowser Chevrolet, and it is PGA Championship Week. Rochester, New York, Oak Hill Country Club. We have a three-way tie for the lead right now on moving day. It is Scottie Scheffler, Corey Connors, and Victor Hovland. Some big names lurking in the shadows, though. Bryson DeChambeau, Brooks Koepka, Justin Rose, and Rory McIlroy, even par right now. We'll talk about Rory McIlroy in a second. I'm Cale Berger. In studio with me is my buddy Sebastian Curtin, PGA Tour Live. He's also a caddy at, Philly Cricket Club?
Going to be in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Caddy at Canterbury and Cleveland.
This guy's going to be double bagging it.
Oh,
and making that,
absolutely.
Making that money this summer.
Reading putts.
What type of caddy are you going to be? You going to crack jokes? You going to bust
it's
chops?
It's all about feeling that out. That's up to the player.
Up to the guy.
Yep.
How many holes do you think that takes?
Sometimes I know on the first tee, and then usually by the second or third fairway.
Yeah.
If they're talking to you, you know, it'd be a fun round, and if not, shut up and carry the bag.
This guy's trying to shoot a course record or get away from his wife.
Yeah.
One of the two.
One or the other.
One
and
or
whether
the other.
I'm a part of that is up to him.
One or the other. 412-928-9370. We want your most embarrassing moment you had on the golf course. When the pressure was on, people were watching, there was a gallery maybe, and you just absolutely folded. Let's start off with Andy in Pittsburgh. Andy, good morning. Do you have a embarrassing moment for us?
Yeah, I do, and thanks for taking the call.
Yeah, man.
My buddies from work were telling me I had to tell the story. So about 35 years ago, I was playing in a fundraiser at Champion Lakes, and there was a lot of good players in the event. It was an amateur event, and I was in the same foursome as Marshall Maracini and Johnny Jones. And I can't remember the fourth, but
gotcha.
Back then, I was a nightclub manager. Didn't get home until about 5 in the morning, and tee time was at like 7:10.
Oh.
So we're on the first hole. I hit a pretty good drive, and my second shot went into it was a par four. My second shot went into the bunker, and this was at Champion Lakes. And
I was there 2 weeks ago. I know it well.
So the guys were on the green, but no one was really in my line or anything. But I'm, you know, lined up to hit my my sand shot, and I bladed the shot, and the ball went flying sideways and hit John right in the forehead, and he went down like he got shot. And was passed out, and so we're trying to continue to play golf. I was like shaking. I felt you know, humiliated about what happened. And Johnny had to leave the tournament. He couldn't play and had a major concussion. And they used to tell the story to everyone. Those guys were pretty good players back then. This is in the early 90s. You know, and those guys were
winning a lot. Did you
hold up in court?
But anyway, every time I saw John after that, he would always see me and just kind of rub his forehead.
You know, I was going to say, did you at least sign a glove for him or something?
No, man, we were good friends at the time. And, you know, it was just the most embarrassing moment. I mean, I had the butterflies the rest of the round, and I just could not play at all. But anyway, I thought that maybe the guys might even be listening and they'll get a good laugh at it. I haven't told that story in a long, long time.
I like it, Andy. Hey, thanks for sharing the story, and thanks for listening to the show.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
All right, you too, man. That's rough.
It's good.
That is good.
Kind of like mine.
Should we tell yours now?
No, we got to wait.
We got to wait?
Yeah, we'll wait.
But I feel like this will gin up more callers if we share
and
your
mine's
story.
Pretty similar. Let's do it.
This was the Adam Crowley golf outing last summer.
Yes.
It was at Fort Cherry Golf Course. This is a fundraiser that Crowley does. Of course, Crowley from the Fan Morning Show. Not a golfer, but they hold this golf outing for his dad. He had heart surgery. He's doing well now, but they kept it going because they want to help other people who need the same heart surgery that he got. It was a four-man scramble. I had myself, Sebi here. I had my buddy Nat Pat and my buddy Jake. So the four of us playing it. It was pouring down rain.
That was a deluge.
It was a deluge, out there at Fort Cherry. We're teeing off on this par five. It's a dog leg left, okay? And Crowley's sister is driving.
So I hit it, and it was a little right. And I was like, all right, like, you know, this is just going to be in the right rough. And then all of a sudden, I see a cart driving, not even in the path, just towards my ball. And I'm like, there's no way this is like Randy Johnson-esque timing.
Hitting the
and
bird.
I'm like, no way this hitting this thing. I don't yell four. It wouldn't have mattered. And all of a sudden, you know, we didn't hear anything. I just figured, all right, I think I hit it. I think I hit someone. And I didn't say anything. And we get there, and Crowley's sister is bawling.
Crying.
And she's like, someone hit me, someone hit me. I was like, yeah, you know what? It was my fault. I'm so sorry.
Well, no, I will say this, okay? And you were a class act about it.
I was.
You were apologetic. And
took it to the chin.
And Crowley was a... Yeah, I mean, you took it on the chin. I mean, she unfortunately took it
on
the
temple. Well, she had her phone in her hand and hit her hand, then her leg, and she had a huge welt. There were talks about going to the hospital for an MRI, and I'm like, am I going to get billed for this golf tournament all of
Crowley
a sudden?
Crowley was understanding about it, but here's the thing. She was not on the fairway.
She
okay,
was.
You hit the shot. As soon as the ball left the tee, you look up to see where your shot goes, and she's flying horizontally across the fairway from behind a tee, from behind a tree. She didn't know what she was doing.
She was delivering. She was just kind of giving out beer and stuff. And
yeah.
I did take a beer, you know.
I mean,
come on. You know, they're right, it's right there. Yeah, I mean, so I took a beer, but
you needed a beer after that.
Me and Andy can relate. It's not a fun feeling. I've hit multiple people out there. It's scary.
I've been hit.
It's scary.
I've been hit. When I was a kid, I had a buddy growing up in Florida, lived on a golf course, and we were just screwing around. This guy's actually a really good player and was a good player when we were younger. And I thought I was out of the line of where his shot was going, screwing around, and he hosled one, and it came on a line on a dart, and I was a really fat kid at the time. So I had a big gut, much bigger than I have right now, but I still have one. Hit me on my left side, and I stood there frozen and couldn't feel anything for 5 seconds. And then the pain set in. And I screamed and never felt worse pain in my entire life. I had a round welt on me for like 2 weeks. One of the worst things I ever felt in my life. So don't get hit with a golf club. I ran in the house. I was like, mom. You know, as little boys do. But keep your stories coming at 412-928-9370. I will share mine that happened just last night coming up here at the end of the show. It was brutal. It was just demoralizing. I don't know if I'll ever be able to play golf again. So who knows if I keep hosting this show or anything after the traumatic experience I went through. All right, PGA Championship week. Some big names there at the top of leaderboard. Hovland, Scheffler, DeChambeau, Koepka, Rose, even par, Rory McIlroy. Now, I said this last week coming in to the tournament. I didn't have a ton of faith in Rory. I still don't know if I have a ton of faith in Rory to be a winner at this tournament. But he is even par, shot 71 first round, 69 yesterday. Clawed his way back after a rough first nine of this tournament.
He was +3 after the first
nine. Yeah, the back nine on Thursday, he really climbed back in and gave himself a shot here. But Rory had a press conference earlier this week where he just did not seem like a guy in a great headspace. Now, we know that he missed the cut at the Players, missed the cut at the Masters. That's part of the reason why I didn't have a lot of faith in him in this tournament. The two biggest tournaments of the year, Rory didn't show up. But he's even par here right now. Do we think that Rory taking on that role as the spokesperson, press secretary, champion of the PGA Tour in this whole live PGA discussion, do we think that that's taken a toll on him and that's why Rory has not been playing the golf he's wanted to this year?
I don't think it's think. I think it's no. I mean, he's spending more time outside of golf and just straight getting better. It definitely has. He wasn't the guy for a while. He kind of said, I don't really need to grow the game. I just want to get better at golf. And how could it not? You know, he's talking at length in these press conferences. He's going out on a limb. He's kind of, he's putting his name out there and against other guys. And you saw it in the Full Swing episode. I mean, he's kind of creating enemies. Everything that Rory's done has been on himself. I mean, he kind of said, all right, Tiger's kind of leading out of the game. And he and JT have kind of been the ones talking. And Rory knows he's one of the bigger faces of golf, obviously. But, I get it. I'm not going to tell him not to do it. But at some point, like, Rory, dude, you're still in your prime.
Yeah.
You're kind of costing yourself here by doing all this stuff. And maybe it's not. Maybe this is what he wants his legacy to be. And part of it is I'm trying to save golf, blah, blah, blah. But really, in my opinion, for Rory to save golf is go out there and win tournaments and then shut everyone up that way.
Well, he's exchanged all these barbs with Greg Norman. He's gone back and forth.
Who hasn't, though?
Yeah, I agreed. But still, he's been the main one, and they have this rivalry, this animosity with each other. He had a great 2021-2022 season. I mean, he was a winner three times last year on the PGA Tour. He was, finished third at the Open, like we said. But I think that ultimately, coupled with the weight of taking on this role, is kind of what broke Rory, in a sense. where he felt like he had that major for the first time in so many years. Like, how many years has it been? Like, 9 years since he won a major or something like that? I mean, it's been a long, long time, and he's been trying to claw back. He was a runner-up at the Masters last year, wasn't able to close the deal there.
And that was given to him.
It was.
Going to that last round.
It was. He has the Open at St. Andrews snatched away from him by Cam Smith. He finishes third there. He won some other tournaments, but, you know, listen, if you are going to take on that role, if you are going to say, I want to be that guy, you have to be able to deal with the consequence. You have to be able to deal with the added pressure and be able to handle it. And Rory's proven and demonstrated, I think, this year so far that he can't walk and chew gum at the same time. He can't be spokesperson of the PGA Tour and try to win majors and try to be competitive week in and week out. And also, like, he was such a big proponent of the designated events and has now missed two of them. And also,
and that cost him out of his pocket.
Yeah, cost him out of his, and he doesn't need the money. It's $3 million is nothing. It's a drop in a bucket to Rory McIlroy. But still, he was a big proponent of that, a big advocate for that, and then he's missed two of them. He didn't play well at the Wells Fargo 2 weeks ago. I mean, he's all over the place, hopefully because we all like Rory. We want Rory to play well, and golf is at its best when Rory is in competition and is in a competitive spot. We'll see if this week is he's able to come back here. I just don't know with given the kind of conditions they're going to have. Rory's got the game right now. Rory's got the mental toughness right now to be able to overcome what's already a tough golf course, and now the weather's going to get worse and worse.
He's Irish. I think he and Shane Lowry actually fare better in this weather. Lowry sits at even. He can make a move. We were talking before the show, like, where do you think, you know, the last guy to actually have a chance is to win? In my opinion, it's probably,
I think it's
plus two.
I think it's two. I think it's two.
Morikawa is plus one. He has a chance to win this golf tournament. Steve Tagala, I don't see it from him, but I think that plus two is where it is.
Yeah, like I look at Fleetwood, Homa, Damon, Hideki, they're all plus three. I don't think they have a shot at this golf course.
No.
Now, there's kind of two ways to look at it. I don't know that this golf course gives you enough opportunities to gain shots back and catch someone from behind. That being said, in the same vein, flip the other way, there's also a golf course that very quickly can get away from you. You know, you can go three holes in a row where you bogey and Victor Hovland's out of it. You know, Corey Connors, Scheffler drop back, and then it's a wide open golf tournament once again.
What's the winning score?
The winning score, I think it's 11 under.
Get out of here, man. No way.
I think it's 11 under.
No way.
I think if Scottie Scheffler is able to hold on to this, which I'd like Scottie to be able to hold on to this thing, I think he can go and play two really good rounds of golf for the next 2 days.
I'll bet you a case of Montucky cold snap that it doesn't get to minus eight.
All right. You think it's minus eight, or you think it's what,
I think seven? It's minus seven.
You think it's seven under?
Maybe.
You think that, okay. I mean, I think
Scheffler shoots even today, he's in the lead.
I think I had 11 under was my initial, what I thought the winning score was, and I think I'm going to stand by that.
Okay.
I think I'm going to stand by that.
It's bold.
It's bold, but I honestly think that, like, Scottie Scheffler can hold on to this thing and take it. I do. But maybe that's a bold prediction for me. Maybe that is my hot take.
If you saying Scottie Scheffler is
if I want to be wishy-washy here and a bad sports talk radio host and go back on my take that I just gave, probably... Probably eight or nine.
Let's get spicy and let's say Michael Block has a chance. And let's talk about Michael Block. PGA Pro at Arroyo Trabuco in California. This guy hits one bucket of balls a week, Kale. And he's out there. He's dialed in. And he almost caught himself with a...
Shank.
Dare I say it? Shank.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
A hosel rock.
And he clawed his way back. He shot even yesterday, and he's still there. But, like, dude, this is a guy, he costs $125 for 45 minutes. Standard going rate for a lesson with a PGA pro. And here he is, kicking Rahm in the butt after 36 holes. It's just crazy when certain guys get opportunities.
Yeah.
And it's not even when they're, this guy's game, like, it's not like it's in the best shape of his life. I mean, I guess it is. But
I mean, clearly it is because
but probably not. He was probably better when he was, you know, trying to make the tour. And he said yesterday, he's like, yeah, I just didn't want, you know, my mortgage to come down to me making and missing putts. You know, like you and I get nervous on certain putts, and like these guys are, can't pay for their house.
I have the
that's something we can talk about off the air, but it's just fun. I'd love to see this guy just remain within the top 15. It's such a cool story.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, it's like the pro at Old Stonewall that, you know, Sean going out there and you texting Sean going, dude, you're tied for 10th right now.
Sean,
like,
can do
go
it.
Go get him.
Sean's got that kind
of like that.
It is. It absolutely is. It's cool because this is the second major of the year. And, you know, we had the Sam Bennett story at the Masters, you know, the amateur from Texas A&M who was in like the second to last pairing. And now we have this guy. I mean, that's what is great about golf.
Phil Mickelson won at 51 this tournament.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, it's not just about this tournament in general, but it is especially this tournament that you have these, I think, 20 in total club pros that qualify and play for this. Michael Block is, and usually these guys don't make the cut. I mean, Michael Block is in rarefied air. He is in uncharted waters here right now. It was really cool to see him in the post-round presser yesterday, and someone just said, hey, to put in perspective, I mean, you're crushing John Rahm. How does that feel? And he's like, he got emotional.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, I'm thinking about all my students back at the country club that are sitting on the back of the range where we work. Like, this is for them kind of thing. I mean, he is playing out of his mind right now. The guy's dialed in, and the fact that, you know, he's not even watching where drives land. He's picking up the tee and just walking off. He's wearing this yellow hoodie yesterday. I love it.
He's $125 for 45 minutes. Does his rate go up?
Hell yeah, it goes up.
Does it go up next
week? It absolutely
week?
He
goes
has
up. To.
Dude, I think you double the rate.
I don't know. He seems like that guy that's like, I'm that cool guy. I'm going to keep it where it is. This was just a great golf tournament I played in. I hope it's like that for everybody because, you know, it costs a lot to get lessons. Because when people say, oh, I get a lesson. No, you got to get like 10 lessons to actually, you know, get the full effects of it. But we'll see if it goes.
Who is the most surprising guy to you that didn't make the cut? There's some big
Matthew
names.
Matthew Fitzpatrick.
I mean, he won the RBC a month ago.
Matthew Fitzpatrick.
He won a U.S. Open at a tough course.
He's just always up there. He's Mr. Consistent. I know what yours has got to be. Ricky just cracked his way in the top 50 for the first time in
it's a combination of Ricky and Jason Day, but even Cam Young's a name too, because Cam Young's a guy who he probably drives the ball farther than anyone, maybe except Rory. I mean, he's right there with Rory in terms of driving distance. He has been very close, and everyone's thought that maybe he can finally get over the hump here. But I look at Ricky and I look at Jason Day. These two guys have had such a resurgence this year. Ricky's back in the top 50. Jason Day wins for the first time in like 1,800 days last week.
I'm actually
week.
Not surprised that Jason Day didn't.
Well, the fact, I didn't think he was going to come out here and win, but I'm surprised he didn't make the cut. That being said, he had a very questionable quote earlier this week. They were like, hey, are you going to like play a practice round? He's like, no, I'm not. I'm like, you're not going to play a practice round. I get that you are just one and you got a lot of emotional stress, but you got to play. You got to know what you're going to face out there.
I think we're really underestimating like the toll it takes after you win. I mean, it goes down to some personal stuff for Jason Day. I can't imagine the type of load that was lifted off of these shoulders. I mean, these guys are grinding. They all think about quitting at some point, going, do I even have my stuff anymore? Am I ever going to win? And once you win, it's really not.
And
you want to keep winning,
week,
obviously.
He won last week on Mother's Day, a year after losing his mom.
Yeah, I mean,
I get that from an emotional
standpoint. No way he's coming back. Even John Rahm, dude, he's probably went back to Spain, had a lot of vino with his buddies.
Yeah.
You know, took 2 or 3 weeks where he probably just didn't really, you know, have that, like, let's go out and get it. Nothing to prove. So it's not even that surprising to me that Rahm is. It's hard to back to back really good performances after
and you
after
gotta
a
be
win.
And I that's what I'm saying though. I'm surprised he didn't make the cut because of the way he has played all year. Jason Day has been so consistent at just being around and playing quality golf, and he's had this ascension so far this season. I'm not saying I'm surprised that Jason Day didn't win the damn thing. I'm saying I'm surprised that the way he is, the quality of golf he has been playing, the form he is in, the fact that he missed this cut. And by so many strokes. But then again, that's the type of golf course this is playing. It is playing like an absolute behemoth, a beast. There's bunkers everywhere. They got Bunker Hill, which looks like my personal nightmare. I woke up in a cold sweat last night because I thought I was at Bunker Hill and I couldn't get out of one of those bunkers on this course. I mean, it looks like an absolute beast.
You sure you're in your sleep? Because I kind of watched that yesterday.
Oh, we don't want to talk about that. We can talk about what happened on 18.
Yeah.
And listen, I'm willing to share one of my most traumatizing moments on the golf course for the sake of the show. That's the kind of guy that I am. 412-928-9370. Your thoughts on the PGA Championship at Oak Hill. Who do you think will end up pulling this out? What do you think that final score will be? Do you think it'll be 7-under, like Sebi believes? Do you think that someone, maybe even a guy that's at 5-under right now, and like a Scottie Scheffler, is going to go on a little bit of a run here, and it might creep into double digits like I think that it could? 412-928-9370. And your most embarrassing golf moment when the lights were on, people were watching. What did you do? I know Chris Muller has a pretty bad one at the Moon Open a couple years ago. I don't want to bring that up, but it happened out there. We got Derek on Twitter who says no chance the winner reaches 9-under or 10-under. He thinks Sebi is right. So we have that.
What up, Derek?
Right now. He also's got a golf story here that I'm going to read during the break, and we're going to share coming up next. I don't know what it is, but we'll see what happens. We'll take your phone calls next. We'll give our final picks for who we think is going to pull this one out and be the 2023 PGA champion. It's Cale Berger with Sebastian Curtin. Going Low, powered by Bowser Chevrolet, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.